sure why.
Oh. Yeah, WebEx has gone weird on me as well. Oh, there we go. I'm back.
Did it work?
Yeah, it's working for me. Different.
Hey, Jill, can you see us? It's different than it normally does to me.
Yeah, they changed the interface last month.
So do you think I'm here? This is Tatiana. I'm so sorry.
You are, and it looks like you also hit their audio. You won't be able to hear us through the computer. You'll only be able to hear us through the phone. And then when you want to share content, Tatiana, you kind of have to hover near the bottom and some icons pop up. The first one on the left is like a phone, and the one on the right is a red X. Do you have that?
Yep, I do.
So you'll do the one with the up arrow.
Got it. Okay.
Okay.
Hi, Sarah.
Okay, I got on. I see just JV in the middle of my screen. Is that right?
That's what I got, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm globally branding.
This is the junior varsity. Okay, I heard, let's see, Tatiana. I heard Michael Charnathan. Yes.
I am on. Good afternoon and good morning to the people on the West Coast.
How are you doing, Michael?
Okay, I can walk on two legs, pretty, but it's starting to work.
Well, that's quick. Very good.
Thank you.
Jen Thomas?
Yep, I'm here.
Christy Petrenko?
Here.
Cristiano?
Here, hi.
Claire Coles? Joanne Weinberg?
Here.
Jeff Wozniak?
I'm here.
Johann Eberhardt?
Hello.
Scott?
Here.
Ken Jones? Sarah?
Yes.
Tom Blanchard to Sandra Mooney?
I'm here.
Tori?
I'm here.
Bill Barnett? Tom Donaldson?
Hi, Ed.
Hey, Tom. How are you?
Doing well.
Pretty exciting in Washington these days.
As it has been, yes.
That's an understatement.
John Hannigan?
Present.
Sarah Jo?
Present.
Dan?
Here.
Ken Warren?
I'm here.
Bill Dunty?
Here.
Dale?
That is I.
Okay, Rajesh?
Here.
Helen?
Here.
Leah?
I'm here with Tatiana.
Miguel? Anyone I missed? All right, my God, this is the best attendance we've ever had. Ken Jones? All right. Anyone else? Let me know. All right.
Kathy Mitchell's on the call.
Hi, Kathy.
Hi, Ed.
All right, so we have an agenda that's kind of been postponed from the last meeting, and I think the first thing I want to do is a lot of people have been asking about the meeting in Vancouver and what's going to be required. We are still looking into the having the CFAS face-to-face meeting a day early on Tuesday, March 5th. And as that progresses, you will get more information about it, et cetera. The meeting adjourns on Saturday afternoon, the Vancouver meeting, and as pointed out by Jill, so many of you will just have a red-eye option to return home if you stay for the entire meeting. And that is your decision to make. CFAS will have a plenary lecture there, and Michael has kind of once again taken the lead on this. And I believe, Michael, do you have, it's the 12 people, right, I believe? We may have broke it down into two sessions.
Right, so I think it's going to be three sessions. One is going to be markers. One is going to be genetics, and one is going to be interventions, people and sort of digitized stuff. So the digitized stuff is Mike, Sarah, and Christy Petrenko, and genetics is the usual crowd, and then the markers is a collection. And we were going to look for an opportunity for either within that context or separately for Claire and for Tatiana to be able to present their registries and then be able to meet with people afterwards. And the type of segment that might be included in is where they traditionally have allowed people to do country presentations about the specific approaches that they're using in their country. So it'd be maybe a 20-minute block with 10 minutes for each. It's just a really good opportunity where there are so many people there to be able to explain what CFAS is doing in the way of registries and even to enroll people.
So the abstracts, we have typically put in abstracts, and they also will eventually require, or not require, but request your presentations that they then put on a USB and make available to everybody, so you can edit that down. But I believe the abstracts are due on September 7th, so you can go to the, I think Jill sent it out to everybody, the call for abstracts, and when you just submit it, make sure it's somehow related to the CFAS symposium if you're one of those presentations. The other thing is I want to encourage everybody to try to get junior scientists from their lab, perhaps graduate students or postdocs, young investigators, to also submit an abstract. And I am hopeful, I can't make any guarantees, but I'm hopeful that we would have the funding to assist in bringing those people to the meeting. We won't know that for quite a while yet, but Jill and Joanne and a little bit me put in a proposal to fund young scientists from the U.S. to attend this meeting. So if people have students, postdocs, and they have data they'd like to present, I'd encourage you that this is a good outlet and for people to really get to see and interact with families, policymakers, and professionals working in the field. Any other comments on that?
Ed, it's Joanne. Yes, I just want to acknowledge Christina Heemster also, who played a big role in helping pull that together.
Yeah, absolutely. So it was haste. It was not. I won't. Bill's on the line. I won't say hastily done, but it was done very efficiently. And I think we were pleased with the final project, which went in 15 minutes before the deadline. So proposal is in, and I really would encourage you to get younger people involved. It's really a great meeting, as most of you know. You've all been there. Most of you have been there. So,
Ed, I have one more question. If you're part of the CFAS symposium, do all those abstracts go in together, or the proposal goes in by itself and the abstracts go in separately, or how do we connect ourselves? I can't quite remember.
In the past, we've let them know which abstracts are part of that CFAS session, and we haven't arranged the timing yet or things like that, so I think Michael will probably make them aware of the final thing. So I would suggest that everyone in the CFAS group send their abstracts to Michael, and then we can inform them of which abstracts are going to be imposed in the CFAS morning session.
This is Christy. I have another question related to that.
Yep.
So we were thinking of putting in for a 90-minute symposia for the app to be able to go into a lot more depth, and so we're working on an abstract for that.
Yep.
Is that going to be a problem to have that abstract plus another one that's briefer for the same thing?
Nope.
I don't think so. I mean, they would welcome that.
Yep, I think they'd be happy with that. You know, the way the meeting is set up, the presentations for the CFAS part are going to be relatively short, on-target presentations, and I think they would appreciate a longer working session for people interested in your app. So I would encourage other people, if they wanted to present at other sessions as well, breakout sessions, paper sessions, to submit. Jen has presented it both before, I believe, part of CFAS and then a larger session. So.
Yeah, it hasn't been an issue.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, for the abstract submission, is the format, like, so what, like, category or whatever we somehow designate for the larger plenary? I guess I can look and see what they have on there, but...
Yeah, I'm going to open up the link now and see what it says. You have to create an account and everything. Just, if you get the abstracts, we'll figure that out. I'll call, email Christine and ask her how she wants us to do it, and then Jill will send it out.
Okay.
All right?
Yeah, this is Ken. I just have a question for Michael, and I'm asking this question for Tina, who can't be here. So she wants to know if she is in one of these symposiums. She apparently has not gotten any word about that.
I believe she is. And I'm not really sure. Michael, if we sent out anything to everybody who's involved, but anyone who asked to be involved is involved. We decided that we would kind of showcase the whole thing in relatively 15-minute type presentations. I'm trying to find Michael's email.
I have it, Ed. Tina was in the biomarkers one along with Rajesh Miranda and Joanne.
Okay, that's fine. I'll just let her know.
Predictor?
Thank you.
We'll send it out again just to be sure everybody knows.
Great. Thanks, Michael.
Yep.
Michael, did you send one out? Because I don't think I got... This is Sarah. I don't think I got one either.
I didn't either. It's Claire.
I will send something to Joe before the end of this hour.
Yeah, it was sent out at some point. I can't quite find it in my file, but here, I have it.
You might have got it, though, because you're on the panel.
It was in the July minutes, July 20th minutes.
Oh, thanks, Joanne.
We'll resend it.
We'll
Yeah, anyway, it's in the July 20th minutes with everybody listed.
Is there a reason why I lost my WebEx thing? All right, okay, it's coming back on. All right, Tatiana, do you have your WebEx on the shared data and consent language?
I do. I can now manage my. Hold on. Let me make sure I do this correctly. Okay.
There it comes.
Yes. Can you see it?
Yeah.
Does it look really weird? I wonder if it needs to be the other screen. Hang tight. Does it look really odd the way it is right there? Hang tight. Oh. I just really screwed up. I think I just screwed it up. Hold on. I think I just got myself out.
Jones, can you stay on afterwards?
Here. Jill, will you do me a favor? Can I send this to you, Jill? It's my fault. I think I just did it wrong. I'm so sorry.
Sure.
I don't want to waste it. Get that
sure.
again. But I just tried to change my thing. I think I just did it wrong. Will you just put it up on the screen for me?
Okay. Ken Warren's picture up there.
If you send it to me, yeah.
I think I'll get it faster than you'll get it faster than get it up than I will be able to.
Oh, man, you went away. There you are.
I was going to say that my picture is there only to prove that I'm alive.
Okay.
And I don't know how to get it off the screen.
Can you get it up, Jill?
That's all right.
Let me see if I can get it off.
You just have to click on the camera icon, Ken.
On the camera icon. There's so many icons. Oh, here's a camera icon.
Don't go away.
Well, if I'm lucky, I might be back in. All right.
All right. So, Tatiana, let's...
Do you have it up, Jill, or you didn't need to do it?
Oh, no.
I've got it. We're okay. I've got it. Hold on.
Ken, your picture's
I see Ken. I'm both of my...
Yeah, what do we...
That's 38.
How do I get rid of this? Change the view.
Ken's never looked better.
Yeah, well, I'm retired.
Got it
to help.
All right, let's get down to business here.
All right, you ready, Jill?
There.
You okay, Jill? Is it up?
It's up
good.
For me. Can everyone else see it?
Yep, looks good.
They can see it.
All right, so let's go to the next. Let's go to the second slide. We're just going to cover really two things, and at the end I'll tuck in something else. We're going to talk about data sharing and just kind of go over a chart of where I think everything is, and Leah's really the one who's done all of the manhandling on this. And then I want to recap the discussion we had about the central repository in CPAS 4. So if you go to the next slide, I think Leah's done a really nice job, and we've done a last round of emails just in the last couple of days trying to make sure we've got everything right. So if you look at this slide, we've got all the projects down the left, okay? And what we're trying to make sure of is, have we seen the informed consent in Indiana? Did we have a chance to review it? Can we confirm that there's broad data sharing language in it? Data share outside of CPAS? This is sort of a selfish thing. Is there DNA being collected? Is it being able to be shared broadly? And then is there also language about the risk associated with the collection of DNA? And I think, so you can look at kind of our table here. There's several of you where we've gone back to just double check some things. So if you look at shared data language, we've got, you know, some language with Claire, we've got it with Teresa, we've got it with Sarah, we've got it with Christy. We're working on that with Joanne, and we've got that with Jeff. I think for Mike, I think the row should be blank because at this point I don't think there's anything being shared back again. So I think that blank row is correct to the best of my knowledge because you're not sharing back the subjects that you're seeing in the National Health Service. Am I right about that?
No, they are. The ones from Neil, the ultrasound images and the 3D images of the neonates are going to be coming back to CIFA. They will be shared.
They're not going to be. They will or they won't?
They will be. They will be.
Oh.
They will be.
Okay.
Yeah.
Then we will need
been,
to see
been
a...
having meetings with Neil this week for that very reason. So, yeah, they will be shared.
Okay, then we'll need to come back with you, and then we'll do the same thing with you that we're doing with the others, look at your consent and just make sure you've got relevant language. The reason Ken's row is blank, and I think, okay, that's perfect. I think Ken's row should be blank because I don't think he's consenting any subjects that aren't part of other projects. I think I'm right about that. Isn't that correct, Ken?
You're right.
Perfect. All right, so I think that's good. And I think Tina's the only one, and I think it's just because Tina's been gone and we haven't got everything all covered in that. But we'll just double check with that. So just to kind of go over them, what we'd like to see is make sure that everyone's got this sharing language. I think, Lee, are you comfortable as long as people are in one of those two columns, or do you feel like everybody has to?
So it has to be in one column if we're going to share it to the
repository. Yes, but I think the question is this outside request. So the people who are only shared data broad, that is broad, and so everything's covered in there. All right. So what we so I think we're actually in pretty good shape. We'll have the boxes filled in as we continue to work with Jeff. Now, Jeff, the blood that's here is that's blood that's part of the choline individuals that are not part of CFAS, not recruited as part of CFAS. If you go forward collecting saliva, then we'll make sure that we've got those two right boxes filled in.
Yeah, that's right. That is coming from a different study.
Yep. And so I think overall, we will finish this grid and we should have it all taken care of, you know, in the next few weeks. But I think what I want to stress is, and the mistake we've made in the past is, I think we should re-review consents every year just to make sure all language stays there. And I guess I wanted to hear that from Ed as well. Most people in a continuing review that don't change their consent, but I think just to be safe, I think you want us to keep reviewing it each year. Do you agree, Ed?
Absolutely.
So, Tatiana, it's Joanne. So we are collecting blood and saliva, but the blood has nothing to do with the DNA.
Right.
Only saliva goes to you. So I think take blood off there for me.
Yeah, got it. Because you're using that just for the biomarkers, and it's just staying
correct.
In your project, correct?
Right.
That's what I thought too. We will. We'll make sure of that.
Okay. And then we're going to need some help with the broader language. And I'll talk to you about it offline.
Yep. And we sent a template, and I think the one question is GINA language, which I think is unique to the U.S. I'm not sure that genetic discrimination, it's a U.S. law, so I don't think you have GINA language in yours.
Okay. I just want to be sure what we need.
Yep. Okay.
So, well, I can talk with you, and maybe we'll set up a separate call with you and Leah.
Okay. That'd be totally fine. I think the key is just to make sure we've got all of our ducks in a row and that our chart, I want to be able to say, you know, when we do the call next week, all our boxes are all covered. Okay. So let's go to the next. Yes, go ahead.
Sorry if I missed this, but where's the row for your project?
Oh, my God, my own project. Oh, my God, that's my fault. Sorry, I forgot myself. Oh, I'm so sorry. So I do have my IT with Indiana. I can share my data broadly. I can share it with outside investigators. I am collecting DNA. It is a shared DNA broad, and we have risk of sharing language. I have all of them. I'm so sorry. I will have myself in a row. I'm really sorry. I am so sorry.
It's my fault.
Yes, sorry about that. It's a little self-serving. I'm so sorry. I'll be on the chart next month. I'm so sorry. Okay. Other questions? Okay. All right. So let's go to the next slide, because I think this is the one that I just want to make sure we're all on the same page. So we had a call, and it would have been in July, where we had a number of people that were on this call that were on that call. And it sort of had a broad discussion. It was really focused on the central repository with the express goal of sort of asking what's the purpose of the central repository within CFAS 4, what makes sense to, how do we want to use it, what data is important to store centrally, and how can we optimize how the central repository is used. Okay? So I've had the first statement on slides before, which is why do we need to ask this question? I mean, we've had a central repository for years in this project. It's in part because the CFAS 4 is structured differently than CFAS 2 and 3 were. CFAS 2 and 3, we had projects that were at multiple sites, and so at different sites, people had a way to share data so they could be analyzed in projects. And because we all were interwoven with each other, the central repository came to be where everybody got their data in order to do any analysis. What's changed, and we've said this before, is in CFAS 4, we have, most of our projects are self-contained. And so you collect the data to answer the question. There are some instances where people may move samples to get, for example, blood from one group to another, but there isn't so much a collecting of data for the same questions being asked across multiple sites. And so we started by asking what was important to have in the central repository. And so we had circled around sort of three critical areas where it was important for us to have data in the central repository. And let me kind of go through, and again, anyone interrupt if I haven't described the call appropriately. The reasons why you really want to have that data is, in part, it allows us to make comparisons across projects. It allows us to make statements about the kinds of subjects recruited in the consortium. And a key person that's really essential in this is Ken, because Ken is a link in the dysmorphology core across many projects. And so he is absolutely essential as a person whose data is in the central repository, because everyone goes to the central repository to gather dysmorphology data for their project, for their analyses. So we centered around kind of three areas: demographics, dysmorphology, and prenatal alcohol exposure. One of the things that we talked about was, what about all the project-specific data that's being collected? So many of the projects have data that's unique to their project. No one else uses that data. It's data just for that project. And so the model we would have to do if we wanted to push everything into the central repository for every project is we would have a database that was really just a series, wouldn't have things in common. And I'm not sure that that makes a lot of sense to store centrally and to create a lot of templates when there's only one group that's potentially needing that data. Every project, though, has to share and be ready to share data with other investigators. So one of the things we'd like to recommend is, for project-specific data, it probably makes more sense for an outside investigator to go work with that project rather than to come to a central repository that only has the data for that project and creates a series of silos for every project. I'd like to, you know, kind of walk through that and make sure everybody agrees, because that's a really important bifurcation from the way we've handled it in the past. But it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to do it in the same way when there's not a lot across projects. And so I want to be very deliberate as I say that. Go ahead.
Tatiana, let me ask a question, though.
Sure.
For future data sharing outside, mm-hmm. do you mm-hmm. think that the neurobehavioral data, for example, is going to be critical, because it would certainly play into the diagnosis?
So the issue is, though, not everyone's doing it the same way. So they're recruiting different ages of individuals. Sarah's doing younger individuals. You know, Joanne and Claire are doing older individuals. They're not doing the same assessment. So I agree with you. If someone wanted to work for Sarah or with Joanne and anybody I'm naming, I'm just calling out and giving as an example, and then you jump in and see if you take, you're really going to have to talk to that person, because you're going to have to talk about what they're collecting in that project. And so it's not like in the old days where Sarah, you know, Jeff, Elizabeth all collected the same neurobehavior, and so one person could very efficiently come to the central repository and get the same neurobehavior data for all three projects. Now it's a lot more just repository is particularly helpful when it's just going to give you data from one project. I think dysmorphology is in a different category, and that's why I think it makes a lot of sense to have it centrally.
But let's say that someone wants to have a diagnosis. Even though Claire and Sarah may be looking at different ages, they're both going to come up with a
diagnosis
that
yeah.
they have an ARND or NDPAE or something that's not FAS, because the FAS diagnosis will be available from Ken. But these ARND, these non-dysmorphic or less than three or two characteristic dysmorphic kids, mm-hmm. they're not, no one's going to be able to know about them or compare across the various studies. Let's say that you wanted to know whether executive function domains, that's a bad example, but there's no diagnostic category in the central repository other than based on dysmorphology.
You could come
let
up
me
with
add
some kind of criteria saying, does this person meet a broad criteria for neurodevelopmental deficit, for instance? Or
I'm not sure. You have to have the actual measurements in there, but I think there should be something that.
Okay.
And who
so,
has.
So,
Tatiana, this is Ken.
Yep. Sure, Ken.
It does not seem to me that this is, you just brought up the issue of diagnosis, and Ed is bringing up the diagnosis of diagnosis, but this does not lend itself to a diagnosis in any way, because the dysmorphology category, what you've got for dysmorphology, is just something that's going to give you a diagnosis in 10% of the cases of kids that have been affected by alcohol.
So I agree with you, Ken. And so we had on the call, we talked about whether or not we wanted to have diagnosis as a as fields that we wanted to bring into the central repository. And my recollection was there wasn't complete agreement on how that would be arrived at across projects, and that was part of the concern. And so if we were bringing in data from outside evaluations versus those that were done within the project, because we have different kinds of projects, for example, Christie's and mine, we're bringing in a lot of external evaluations, whereas some of the other projects, they're doing the evaluations within the project. We can certainly distinguish those sources of data, but I think we had some hesitation about the fact that if we brought in diagnosis, not all diagnoses were of equal quality, as I recall. And that was where our discussion sort of broke down about bringing that in and how we would document it. If we want to come back to that, that's partly why I think it's important to do it on this call. We certainly can revisit that.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just worried about it for future data sharing.
Yes.
People are going to put in and say, well, I want to look at this, this, and this, but the data aren't in the central repository.
Okay.
I have to contact 5 different investigators.
Mm-hmm.
I was just going to chime in. I think NIAAA would also agree with Ed's comments about future data sharing. If the data were in the central repository, that would make things a lot easier. I'd have to go back and look at the grants, but I assume that part of the aims for the data or for the central repository in the current grant were spelled out to accept data from CFAS-4 projects.
So do you literally
that were even project specific?
Okay. So do you literally? So I guess I'm just asking. So that means for if we were to go down that road, every project. So it's going to be very different. So a person who wanted to combine data across projects. They would not have, as they do in CFAS 2 and 3, a nice way to work across projects. So do we envision then that investigators would, they might have neurobehavior from, for example, from Sarah. There might be neurobehavior from Joanna, from Claire. So we would have each of those almost like in a little silo with a data dictionary, and then an investigator would then need to work across those. I guess I'm just trying to work my way through how they're going to actually use that.
Let me ask, is anyone from the central repository on the call? Is Bill on the call? I just don't know how it was proposed in the grant.
So Helen's on the call. Bill's not available today. So
Helen is here, yes.
Yep. So they proposed to bring in data. I don't think when the grant was written there was full appreciation that there was very little overlap across the projects. So I think the way it was envisioned, they would be very much like CFAS 2 and 3. And so I'm just asking, it's our moment to make sure that this really accomplishes what we want. Is that really better than just having the data in the projects and having an investigator ask, I want to work with, with Joanne or with Claire and getting the data from that. I'm just asking.
So this is John. I really do appreciate Tatiana's concerns about, building a repository that has little pockets that are copies of what is being held in each of the sites. It's true that there's very little overlap among them. So I can see the disadvantage of trying to put a lot of work into structuring the central repository to receive those units of data that aren't going to overlap and facilitate somebody who wants to access them across sites. But I do see, though, that there should be recorded in CFAS somewhere that full dictionary, so that if somebody wanted to have access to information that might perhaps across a lifespan, that you mentioned that as an example, that they would know, you know, from whom they might be able to get the pieces and put them together.
Yes, John, it's Joanne. So I think that's one approach. I mean, I think in a sense it's not a bad idea to put the data onto the site, even if the projects differ from each other, because there is overlap, not among all the projects like there was in 2 and 3, but there is still overlap. So, for example, Claire and we and Therese, which is a second site and Claire's grant, are all collecting virtually identical data sets. They may vary by one or two questionnaires here and there, but on adults with FASD, we will have identical data, and our goal is to not only analyze within site, but then merge the data across sites. And other people may then want to access those merged data, and we will have demographics and dysmorphology and so on. What we're not doing in that project is diagnosis per se. Claire and Therese are recruiting known individuals, and we are advertising in the community to get people to come, and we'll then look at their previous diagnosis. We may want to confirm that we would still have the same diagnosis, but that's a second step. So it's not diagnosis per se. On the other hand, we will have dysmorphology and demographics across the three sites for adults with FASD. That could be a really powerful data set for other people to access, and we will have a whole series of cognitive and adaptive function tests to go with it. So there's one place where you could begin to relate dysmorphology to adaptive function to health and cytokines, which is the critical focus for us, for example. And even for the other project, children may be different ages, but some tests may overlap across sites. So in that sense, that piece could be pulled together.
All right.
So
it's not a bad idea to have even by individual projects.
I'm going to ask people to be brief because this is, I think, an important topic, but I don't want to run out the entire hour on it.
Okay, so I'll try to be brief. This is Sarah. So I want to just say that Tatiana, the way she's organized this and the call that we had previously was really informative and very helpful, and she just handled it in the way that Tatiana always does, which is awesome. But I just want to just echo that, you know, things have changed between phases, and so I completely understand what Tatiana is saying in terms of the structure, the way the structure has changed, and does it make sense to create something that's not really needed. And I think maybe given what Joanne is saying, that it might be needed for some projects, but it might not be needed for all projects. But so in terms of the neurobehavioral, my current neurobehavioral project, and I think Ed was asking about the combination of neurobehavioral data and dysmorphology data, I can just say as an example that we would have a database that had the dysmorphology for the subjects in the, if it was available, which hopefully it is, for the subjects in that neurobehavioral data set. So for example, for CFAS in previous phases, we have created a database that has the neurobehavioral data and the dysmorphology data and the demographics data all together in one thing. So if somebody wants to ask to use that, they of course would have to talk to me about it, right? Because I'm the one who knows the most about it, and we have that and that's available. So I see that as a really good model. I mean, maybe it's just because the way I'm doing it, and I, you know, obviously it's the way my brain thinks. But to me, that makes a lot of sense.
And so in the future, let's say that there's 20 people who want access to these CFAS-4 data.
Yeah.
Do you want to have to deal with 20 people?
Well, they would have to deal with me anyway, right?
Yeah. Now you have to give them all access to your website. You can't send it over the email. You've got to have a secure website to do it.
Why can't we send it over email?
Because it would be a violation of something or other.
It's not identifiable.
Yeah,
but that's
it.
We can have that at a different. We can have that as a different conversation.
So what I just want to summarize this, okay? So what I hear is, and I'm sorry, we have charts of all variety here as we try to gather everybody's protocol and identify all the overlaps. So if there's interest, for example, like for Joanne, Claire, and Therese to have, you know, that there's certain data that they're all collecting in common, and making sure that that's easily available, we can certainly help with that. The dysmorphology comes through the dysmorphology core anyway. I guess what I am just suggesting is to create every one of these individual projects that, you know, given the number of requests that we have, I am just sort of questioning the usefulness of that. I mean, we haven't had huge numbers of requests, unfortunately. And so, I'm partly fine so that we put our effort into the most useful places. And so, Phil and Dale and Ed, if you want to comment back more, I mean, I just want to make sure I cover all of this that I'm going to cover.
Just don't see why anyone would want any of the data that's going to be stored in the central repository.
And I would also add, I mean, to me, it diminishes the role of the central repository. You know, I think, and Tatiana, I can appreciate your comments that when the grant applications went in, we didn't appreciate the level of non-overlapping data between the projects, but everyone's grant has in the data sharing plan that the data will be provided to the CFAS central repository. I think, you know, if we go this route, it potentially makes a central repository not needed in future renewals. I know I'm thinking down the road, but and I think it does bring into certain aspects of data sharing that I'm not sure if we fully understand. I think the point that Ed made about having a secure section of the CFAS website for data access is an important one. You know, I think Sarah's comment about just emailing people data, you know, I think that has ramifications that I haven't completely thought through yet. So I think it would be nice if we could maybe further discuss this option.
All right, so then I'm going to say that, Tatiana, do you have another slide? Or?
I mean, we can certainly stop there. I mean, we can stop there. I do have a slide, but we can stop there. It's all right. I mean,
I think
this is the fundamental crux of the discussion. I mean, I think there's no question that dysmorphology has to go into the central repository.
Why? What are they going to do with it?
Well, it's partly because that's where all the projects get their dysmorphology. They go to the central repository to get it.
True.
Why don't they just contact Ken?
It's better to have it in the central repository.
Well, that is completely set up. I mean, Helen did a great job. She's got access tools for that. I think there's no reason that would be changed from anything that's currently being done.
So I know you want to continue this, but I think, you know, the weight falls down on putting everything into the central repository for the issues of, one, we can't always anticipate what people are going to want to pull together, and the issue of security is another.
So I think there needs to be more discussion, and I think we need to get some input from the SAB on this and NIAAA. And also to look in some of the long-term ramifications, because these data are they're not going to have to go in the central repository, be available on the central repository for at least another couple of years. But the long-term ramifications of people wanting the data 5 years from now, you know, I think we need to discuss. And are all the investigators still going to have all that data available for people? I mean, are people going to retire and that's going to be the end of it? It's not going to be anywhere that would be available for sharing. And I think we get in trouble for that. So I think we need more discussion on it. I think we need to talk to Bill and Helen about how difficult it would be to have these little separate silos. But I'm not sure we're there yet in terms of a policy. So I'd like to set up a call with the SAB and NIAAA to kind of discuss it after Bill gets some more information on privacy and everything else like that.
Claire, one more.
But if you have another slide, Tatiana, let's see it.
I think we're done, Ed. I mean, I don't think it makes sense to go through the rest until you decide how you want to handle it.
Okie doke. Any other comments quickly before
I go
to turn to Hannigan?
This is Claire. I have one comment. If you're talking about putting diagnoses in, then you have to come to some joint way of doing diagnosis.
I can't hardly hear you, Claire.
Sorry. If you're talking about putting diagnosis in as a variable that's going to be used by people in the central database, then you're going to have a agreement on how to make the diagnosis, which is a whole other question, as you know.
Or this is Jeff, or you could put in the elements. So you could put in what you were suggesting earlier, Claire, is some generic indicator that there is an impairment in cognitive functioning, or more specifically, there's one area of cognitive dysfunction at a standard deviation below normal. You could put in the elements, and then people can make the diagnosis with the elements later.
I agree. We just have to agree on the elements.
Well, each project is going to be making a diagnosis because we don't have a lot of cases with FAS. So Sarah, Jeff, they're all going to be calling this some ARND or something.
Right.
And, we need to know what the person is. Now, Sarah may use a little different criteria than Jeff does or Joanne does.
This brings us back to the question of what is the criteria. So
you're right, for sure. And I don't think in previous iterations of this proposal we have made diagnoses.
No,
well, there's certainly a lot of papers out there talking about prenatal alcohol exposed kids, and we know
absolutely
not FAS.
Absolutely, prenatally
alcohol
exposed
kids. We're not using
kids.
Ken saying correctly that we haven't used a diagnosis. Other than FAS, as part of our papers, and we've done that. But I think the benefit of our group is that we have the experts in this. So if Claire and Jeff, and I don't want to leave anyone out, Christy, me, we can come up with a solution to that problem.
Yep, we can. I just want to note that it needs to be done.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. I asked John Hannigan. All right, so Jill will set up a conference call for the SAB and NIAAA to discuss this, but let's for maybe next week so that Bill has some time to investigate some of the issues that NIAAA or NIH might have.
Ed, can I suggest that, I mean, can Tatiana or somebody be on the call, because we put in a lot of time and effort having conversations about this, so it would be good for somebody to be involved in that.
Sure.
I think it would be helpful, yeah.
Yeah, well, we'll have Tatiana on the call, too. All right. I'll just quickly mention, Jill's been working on the face-to-face survey results and how best to do those. We will hold that off until next week. And John, you have on the CROSS consortium, I know you've been doing some work on that.
Yes, is my screen showing?
No, we have Ken.
Ken Warren's showing.
I'm hitting the upload button there, Jill. I don't know what that is.
Mm-hmm. You shouldn't be seeing me. I'm not sending it out anymore.
Well, you are there, Ken. It's just a KW.
We don't have the picture of your face, but we see your initials.
Okay. Well, I'm seeing JV's initials. I'm seeing Jill's.
Yeah, I have the presenter selected as Dr. Hannigan.
There you go.
Is this it now?
Yep, you're on,
yep.
John.
Yep.
All right. Very good. So so I'll be quick. You guys were shown some of this in June, but I've been following up with Terry Deek at Binghamton, as well as Dan and James from the Canadian group. And the question we pose is, what are the opportunities for us to interact? And the response has been very positive. I know I missed the meeting, but I did talk to folks afterwards. We had a nice session in the bar at the hotel. And since then, I'm going to go skip over this. We know why we want to do this, because of our overlapping interests and expertise, because there's a lot of people in common in different roles across these four groups. And so out of the brainstorming and in conversation since, these are the things that people have proposed as things we might do as a combined group. And one was to have a leaders roundtable, as I'm calling it, either face-to-face or WebEx brainstorming sessions among the leaders of the group. That was thought that it might be productive for finding ways that would be of mutual advantage. It's also possible that the leaders from one center could go to another to talk about what's available in the other centers to those other people. It was proposed to have a social gathering at RSA. This might be of special value to the trainees. I'd like to point out that we have there's an aging center here that has a training grant, and every year they have a combined social meeting with similar centers, and it's been very fruitful over the years for helping trainees to connect with future colleagues, with potential postdocs and the like. And so this might be advantageous and not to be dismissed. Fun. A joint thematic symposium is one thing that I thought could be valuable, and it turns out that Binghamton and New Mexico had already been talking about it, and I suggested that one way to get all four of these units, these centers combined, at once is to have Joanne join that group. And Joanne, were you contacted?
No, I wasn't.
Well, consider yourself contacted to join this.
Okay.
I know that Terry Deek intends to be in touch with you and or Fernando Valenzuela.
Okay, great.
To put together a joint symposium. And the value of having something that's really thematically focused can really help concentrate the expertise across these centers. There doesn't have to be just one. Coming up at RSA, I think those deadlines are some months away. If you have other things that you'd like to propose and to pull in people from one of these other centers, it could be advantageous. I thought it might be worthwhile perhaps to have workshops at each other's sites. These like nuts and bolts trying to handle issues. We were just trying to deal with issues of data management. Maybe we can share experiences across centers that way. I'm categorized under things like collaborative program development. A couple of you suggested that reviewing other people's pilot grant applications might be useful. I think there's a lot of that going on already among the groups. Cross-lab training, recruiting, not to steal people, but the students in one lab in one center could become postdocs in another, and then would be faculty someplace else, and those types of things are possible. So I leave for the end this research collaboration, because by our own experiences within CFAS, this can be the most difficult. I'm not envisioning something from a top-down that the leadership tries to organize, but as much as we can provide opportunities for investigator-to-investigator interactions, one-on-one connections between people across different centers might facilitate the work of both labs. There's obviously questions to be dealt with, shared specimens, pooled data, all these things are difficult to manage, but individuals who pursue the opportunities with other colleagues in these other centers would benefit. That's really all I had. If there's something else that you think that this might be a value for it, let me know. But I think the opportunities are interesting. And it could be a low-cost investment to facilitate the work across the whole field.
What would people think of having a WebEx, one of our monthly WebEx, where, like, for example, we have the New Mexico, just have Dan, as the leader, provide a kind of overview of what his center is doing, and so that people in CFAS can hear it, kind of as a, how you do these kind of CFAS overviews at meetings and where we are, what we're doing. And maybe then invite each one of them. You know, that we James presented what Kids Help Brain Network was doing on one of our WebExes, what was going on in his lab and life. Maybe we could do something similar.
I think it's a great idea.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I think that's a real simple way to facilitate that.
You know, and if we wanted to devote a whole monthly thing, we could have, like, both NMARC and DARC do one, you know, for, I think you need at least 20 minutes per presentation. And then everyone on CFAS, and we'd have the whole group. And we could invite, I think, now as many people as we want for the WebExes. Is that true, Bill?
250.
250. So we could easily do that. So
that's interesting.
Bill, you think that's a reasonable thing?
I think that's a good start, yeah.
All right. We'll work on that. John and Jill, see what you can coordinate, all right?
Very good. Thank you.
Hey, John, thanks a lot for doing this.
Yeah, we appreciate you organizing it, John.
Responsive from the other Administrative Core PI. So you did a great job.
Yeah, everybody's enthusiastic, and, you know, people have been talking about this for a while. Dan's been talking about it, too, so the time was ripe.
All right. Yeah. Someone want to say something? All right. I am going to Kyoto in a couple weeks for the ISPR meeting. And then I've been asked to go to Tokyo to talk at another forum on FAF to a group of physicians, etc. And so if anyone has recent data slides that we may not have already, that may not have or may not have seen, if you could send those to me, I will try to include them in my talk. So that we get some of the latest findings out from CFAS. So I would appreciate that. And we got about 3 minutes left, so any of our advisors who would like to provide any input or have raise questions or suggestions, comments?
No, I have nothing else.
Dan?
I think he had to step out.
Oh. Bill, Dale, Ken?
Nope.
Nothing here.
Wow. All
right. I think one of the projects might have news.
Okay. How about a 3-minute summary of the latest breaking news?
So who did you have in mind, Jill?
Well, now I'm feeling weary.
Well, what is it?
Well, there's new news on the CFAS website about something.
Is this another indictment?
I'm feeling that way.
Well, you better tell us. You got 2 minutes.
Okay. It's not my news.
Are you talking about recruiting? So they've got a place on the website now to help us with recruitment for the genetic study, because we're up and running now with our registry.
Excellent.
Yep.
That's good. Anything else? Email any news to Jennifer. Jill, any ideas for the WebEx? Michael will be, I just saw it up on there, the Vancouver meeting agenda, or people who are going to be involved in that. And I guess that's about all I could say, except if Ken Jones can stay on for a second. You still there, Ken?
I am.
I would appreciate it. I got a question I got to ask you.
Okay.
And if anyone sent me any emails in the last couple of weeks, maybe resend them if I haven't responded. I was having a lot of internet troubles over about a week ago, and I know I've missed things. So if you had any questions about anything, just resend them. All righty. Well, thank you very much.
Hey, Jill.
Yeah.
Ed, real quick, I was looking at the website for the announcement, and I'm getting a warning that the internet or this website is not secure. Do not put information could be stolen by attackers. Can someone look into that?
Yeah.
That's not going to help.
Yeah, I pulled it up. I didn't get that.
I'll send something to our web person right now.
Sarah, showed you. Are you
yeah, I don't see that.
Today? Is it still
it's
there?
Up at the top left corner, Jen. I can show you.
I just closed it up. So
okay, I'll show you.
All righty. Well, we will look into that because, you know, we may not get it because we're hosting it. So we'll find out.
Hey, you're already caught.
Yeah, I'm not seeing it, so.
I can see it.
I think it just means that there's no SSL certificate on it, so it's just an unsecure website. It doesn't really mean anything.
It could mean that NIH has tougher standards.
Than anyone else, yep.
Can you see it, though, Bill?
You can pull it up on any of your browsers if you just click on to the left of the website where you click to see if things are secure. It's popping up for me, too. I see it. I've screenshot it and sent it to our web person.
Okay, thanks.
All righty, then. I will be talking to you, and thank you all very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye, everybody.
Thank you very much.
Bye.
Okay, bye. Bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Dr. Jones.
Ed.
So,